Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could join us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today, I have my good friend, Matt Slick. Matt, we've known each other for years. You're the founder and director of the Christian Apologetic Research Ministry, CARM.org, probably one of the largest websites in the universe when it comes to apologetic information.
Yeah, it is. It's very large. We get about 50,000 page views a day. Mm-hmm. And it's been on for about 16 years. CARM.org. A lot of information there.
A lot of information. And many times when I've had questions that come to me on specific issues, many times I've just sent people a URL from your website to them. Yeah. Say, okay, this I don't have time to reinvent the wheel. Here it goes. But you've been an incredible help over the many years when it comes to people wanting to be able to defend their faith and respond to those who do not have a biblical worldview, who do not believe in Christianity. One of the things that we have often said here, that one reason why we consider Mormonism outside of the mainstream, and it's very outside of the mainstream, folks, is because Mormonism denies or distorts all of the basics of the Christian faith. You and I both agree that there are certain core issues that we could never compromise. But at the same time, we also realize that there are peripheral issues or secondary issues that we can have. Well, sometimes it's fun. With some people, they get a little bit too anxious. But there are issues that we can debate and we can talk about. And we do. But whether or not you agree a certain way on these peripheral issues, we do not consider those salvific issues.
Right.
What are some of those core things that, as a Christian, we need to continually defend and cannot compromise? Give us some of those in just a few minutes that we have. And folks, I know that's really unfair for Matt because there's so much to talk about on this, and you can go into so much detail. But if you go to his website, I can guarantee you can do a search on his website. And if you want all the details, he has articles that will back this up. But what are some of those things?
Yeah, the essentials, what I've done is I've written an article, The Essentials of the Christian Faith, and I went through the Bible over the years of studying cults and doing apologetics, the defense of the faith, and I started discovering a pattern that there are certain verses that the Bible will say itself are essential. It doesn't use the word essential, but it'll tell you. And for example, in Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments, God says to have no other God besides Him, that He's the only God, no idols or anything, because, and there's a punishment. If you do, then He's going to visit the iniquity upon your children. There's a punishment with this doctrine. Therefore, it's an essential. So there's only one God in all the universe. That's what that is teaching. We can go into other verses in Isaiah 43, 44, 45, but we'll do it quickly. So that's an essential of the faith because there is a warning attached to not believing it. So another one would be that Jesus Christ is God in flesh, and that's John 8:24. Jesus himself said, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. That's I call it a primary essential because there's an actual stipulation attached to the statement. You will die in your sins if you don't believe he's the I am, John 8:24. So you've got to believe he's God in flesh. Another one is that he has physically risen from the dead. And that's 1 Corinthians 15:14. If Christ be not raised, our faith is in vain. And it's talking about his physical resurrection. Again, I can go into more verses, but that'll suffice for now. Also that the gospel, you can't preach another gospel or you'll be cursed. That's Galatians 1:8-9. But the gospel is defined in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4 being the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then finally, the five mains, I'll say the other one is salvation by grace through faith. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's Galatians 3 and Galatians 5. And we don't have time to go into some details and exegete the scripture. That means to look at it and see what it says. But basically it's saying that if you receive any works or any symbol of works in any way to have your place right with God, then you're separated from God. You don't have him. And so I call these the five primary essentials. And the secondary essentials are the ones that are derived out of those. For example, the doctrine of the Trinity, There's only one God in three distinct, eternal, simultaneous persons, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We could get into that in another show. The virgin birth is a secondary essential, because you cannot have a true incarnation if there is no virgin birth, the influence of God in there. And so with those basic seven things, I'll say, here are the parameters of what Christianity is. If you violate these, you're outside the scope of Christianity. We can't call you Christian.
And certainly we can show from our own history that those have always been the essentials.
Right.
And of course, when a group comes up, you take like Joseph Smith, who comes up and says something like, well, we have imagined and supposed that God was God from all eternity. I will refute that idea and take away the veil so that you may see. Folks, what Joseph Smith has just done is violate one of those primary things. God was always God. He did not become God at a particular point in time, because that raises all sorts of other questions. Well, if he became God at a particular point in time, who was running things while he wasn't God? Well, the Mormons have an answer for that. It was the God that preceded him. Now, I understand that there are some Mormons who are struggling with that. Why are they struggling with that? I'll tell you why. I think the reason they're struggling with that is because Christians have been hammering on this subject to them for so long. We have made them come to grips with this error and demanded that they defend it, that right. they defend this heretical position that they have. And fortunately, because Christians have stepped out, such as yourself, Matt, on your show and on your website and here at MRM and other ministries, Sandra Tanner's and others, we are making them face their heresy. It's like the issue with Jesus' atonement on the cross. Years ago, when I started this ministry back in 1979, I can't recall Mormons pointing at all to the cross. It was always to the Garden of Gethsemane. And we've been hammering this for, you know, decades. No, we don't find an atonement in the garden. We don't find any reference to this kind of an atonement in the garden. In fact, Jesus doesn't even mention us in his prayer in the garden. And yet, we find Mormons will point to that. Why? Because that's their traditional, their history. And I think it's a doctrine that they probably brought up just to poke a finger in the eye of the Christians. They don't have to, because the Book of Mormon doesn't teach a garden atonement at all. When it comes to Jesus, of course, the Mormons will say, well, we believe in Jesus. Look at the name of our church. We have to go deeper than that. We have to ask people what they really think about Jesus. And wouldn't you agree, Matt, that the Christian church has a long history of defending who Jesus really is? That was always an important issue with the church. It wasn't something that to be taken lightly.
Absolutely.
We'll name some of the things of this. So, I mean, there were certain types of views that would come up throughout church history regarding whether Jesus really came in the flesh and things like that.
Right.
What are some of those things that came up that the church had to respond to?
Well, that one is Gnosticism, and that's dealt with in 1 John chapter 4. Was Jesus really the divine?
And Gnosticism was really in its infancy during that time.
Right.
Okay, so go ahead.
There's that. There's Arianism, which is a modern form of Jehovah's Witnesses.
Right.
Or Jehovah's Witnesses, modern form of Arianism.
Correct.
And that basically is that there's one God and that Jesus is a creation, a created thing. And then we have what's called oneness theology, which says God is one person who has different forms.
Modalism. And which is surprising, because that's basically the teaching that Joseph Smith puts in the Book of Mormon.
Yeah.
That's why it's amazing. The Book of Mormon really teaches more of a modalistic concept of God, and yet Joseph Smith later on in his life goes completely on the other end of the spectrum and teaches more of a polytheistic or a tritheistic view of God.
Well, there's also heresies dealing with the person of Christ, and I'll say three, and don't worry about it, folks. Don't have to know about these, but Nestorianism, Eutychianism, Monophysitism. The church has had to deal with various issues through the centuries about the person of Christ, his work, the extent of his atoning work, his divine nature, his human nature. How do they relate? It really gets detailed. For people like me, who don't watch sports and love science fiction and stuff like that, I'm a little off. I love to discuss and learn the theology about my Savior, Jesus Christ. And the more I've learned about him, the more precise I've really seen the scriptures speak about him and his greatness, his wonder, his work on the cross, and what he's done. You know, he's the most important figure in history.
Mm-hmm.
In our eternal life, our salvation is all dependent upon him. We better know who he is, not just getting some feeling in our heart that we think might be a witness to who he is. What does the scripture say about him? And that's where we got to go.
And we've often emphasized the fact that you can't go by feelings because we are fallen people. We are fallen people. Our feelings can mislead us. And sadly, when it comes to Mormonism, we just completed a huge outreach out at the Mormon Miracle Pageant. And you saw on the street, Matt, as well as I see on the streets, it's like Mormons know what they're supposed to do.
Right.
They know what's required of them. But when you ask them, are you doing it? They don't know.
Right, they don't know.
They know they have come short. It's interesting. They know they've come short. They're not keeping their covenants. They're not keeping the commandments. But sadly, they will cling to this religion, even though it's nothing more than a lead life preserver for them. Mm-hmm. It's not going to help them.
Yeah, we don't hate Mormons. We don't hate them.
I
get this a lot. You know, the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, you hate us. You're a hater. No.
Yeah.
We've honestly, Bill, you and I have talked so many times about this. They're going, I mean, I don't know, not trying to be judgmental, but you have a false Christ and a false God. You cannot have the true gospel, and you're going to be lost.
Well, they themselves, when you ask them, they don't even know if they're forgiven. Because I'll get that a lot of times. They'll say, well, do you think Mormons are going to hell? And I'll say, well, it depends on which Mormon you're talking about. And they look at me puzzled, and I'll say, well, tell me, the Mormon you have in mind, is this Mormon forgiven? Because if he's not forgiven, not even Mormonism allows for unforgiven people to get into the presence of God. But of course, the big problem is you're probably talking to the very Mormon who doesn't know if he's forgiven. I thank you for coming in, Matt, because
sure.
You are doing an incredible work there, and I know you take a lot of hits. I've known you personally for years. I've known your wife, your family. And I know your heart's desire is to see people come to a correct understanding of what the Bible has to say about what you've just listed in this show as being essential issues. And this is why, if you don't understand what we're doing here at MRM, or you don't understand what Matt's doing at the Christian Apologetic Research Ministry, people can always write you and ask specific questions. I'm sure you deal with them like I do.
Yes, I do. And on the radio show, I answer lots of questions on a daily basis.
This is such an important aspect, and if you do have questions about the Christian faith, then I would by all means refer to Matt at carm.org. Get a hold of him. He can certainly help you in your walk. Thanks, Matt, and I appreciate you being on.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. When trying to understand the doctrines of our Latter-day Saint friends, family members, and co-workers, it can be very difficult to know what to believe. In his resource titled, In Their Own Words, A Collection of Mormon Quotations, Mormonism Research Ministry's Bill McKeever compiles some of the very best Mormon quotations that will help you better understand what LDS leaders and scholars have said on such issues as atonement, exaltation, and pre-existence. Written in an encyclopedic format, In Their Own Words provides quotes on literally dozens of issues, alphabetically listed for quick reference that can be found in a matter of seconds. No more wondering what Mormonism's leaders have said on any topic. And this resource is available in both book format as well as on CD disc. Just load the PDF file onto your computer and you're ready to do valuable research. These are the very best quotes that Mormonism Research Ministry uses on a regular basis. In Their Own Words is available now at mrm.org. Again, mrm.org. Get it today.